Welcome to another G4 Guitar Teacher podcast. These podcasts are specifically for people wanting to teach guitar. If you're interested in becoming a G4 Guitar Teacher, then please go to our website, which is g4guitarmethod.com, and that's the letter G, the numeral 4, the word guitar, method.com. My name is David Hart, and I am the CEO and Program Director. And what I'm going to talk about today is parenting tips for guitar teachers. Understanding how parenting works and how positive parenting works, more to the point, is something that will really help you as a guitar teacher, and it's a large part of what you will do in your role. Many parents who will come to you are wanting to know, how do I help my child, or how do I get my child to succeed on guitar? That's the bottom line. They're paying you as a professional to teach their child to play guitar, and you need to offer any advice and give them any support that's going to make that happen. And sometimes that advice is not always what people want, but sometimes you've just got to be tactful, of course, but there are certain things that need to come across. So first of all, I want to talk about the parent debate. Parenting is one of those topics that people take very personally. They often see, you know, advice that they get as negative criticism towards the way that they parent, and can become very defensive sometimes. The truth, though, about parenting is that most parents are winging it. They're really just doing their best based on generally their own experience and how they were parented. Often it can even be subconscious. And we find, that's why we often find ourselves sounding like our own parents when we become parents. The problem is that while in some cases our parents hand down some good ideas and good tips, our parents are not, and they're not all good and they're not all bad. They often have some very good advice for us and very good lessons for us. But we have to remember that our parents were mostly self-taught, and they learned from their parents, and their parents learned from their parents, and so forth. So we actually live in a very privileged time where we have this ability to access lots and lots of resources on how to be good parents, but it still doesn't mean that most parents are doing it. And generally, no, but people don't learn about parenting until they become a parent. That's when they start to become interested in it, because it makes sense. Why would you even think about it unless it's something that you're actually in the process of doing? So for me, really, I was late to the game in being a parent. My daughter's 5. I'm into my 40s now. So I came to the game late. So I had all these years of learning about parenting through teaching before I became a parent. So in many ways, I was very well equipped for the role. And obviously, being a teacher, working with children for many, many years, you learn a lot about parenting through that process. So let me just go a little bit more into detail here about what I know about parenting. I would have to say that when I started teaching in my teens, I really knew nothing about parenting. Of course, you know, I was a child myself. In fact, I didn't even give it a thought. I was simply, you know, a typical teenager who just believed you were who you were, and that your parents really had nothing to do with it. You might have grown up with your parents, but you didn't really associate the fact that you were, in fact, you wanted to think that you were completely different to them, and you were your own person. So it was really, you didn't see any connection there between your parents and the way that you behaved or your behavior. So you might say that I was clueless at that time. It was really through the years of teaching that I began to see the way different parents worked with their children. I could see patterns. I didn't realize over those many, many years, I was actually conducting a long, long survey, really more than 25 years I spent studying and working with parents and children. Now, it in many ways, it's a very privileged position. Even school teachers who work closely with children for many hours, they don't have the same position that we often do as music teachers, where we're working with the parent and the child together a lot of the time. So we see the parent a lot more than school teachers do. What happens for most school teachers is the children get dropped off in school in the morning, and then they get picked up in the afternoon, where in our case, we actually have the parents turning up, and we have, you know, classes running one after the other, and there's a parent coming. Sometimes they drop them off, of course, and when you're group teaching, that becomes more common. But generally, when you're beginning, and even those periods of picking up, you're meeting parents a lot, so you're getting to see the dynamic and learn a lot more about it. So this is something that we have as a real privilege, and puts us in a position to really understand the parenting child dynamic and what works and what doesn't. But of course, that in itself wasn't enough. I attended a workshop when I was in my 20s, many, many years ago, which was called Every Child's Right. And it was all about every child's right to learn music. And it was conducted by a lady, a professor, Frances Rauscher, who was from Berkeley University in the States. And she came to Australia to do this special workshop, which was part of a whole series of things that were going on at that time. And she really opened me up to this whole idea of, you know, children and learning music and understanding. Really, parenting was a lot of the message there. And I understood that parents played this vital role. I also, at the around the same time, I was working with a lady who, I was working with her son, I should say, who was a teacher of the Suzuki violin method. And that really intrigued me because as I met her students, I realized, wow, these kids are great. They can really play the violin. And these were young children. So I knew that something was going on here with that particular method. I had a closer look at it. And what I saw, the standout for me was the fact that parents had to be involved. It's actually compulsory for children when they start out with Suzuki that the parents are involved, and they start the children very young as well. So I had these kind of, you know, epiphanies at that time around parents starting young, you know, and the role generally of the teacher in that process of setting it all up. So the confusion around parenting, and this is something that I noticed over time, I was thinking like most people and most parents, until I started to see the difference between these parents who were getting great results with their children and really the 90%. Unfortunately, only about 5 to 10% of parents really understand how to work with their children when it comes to learning music. The other 90, 95% actually have a very different idea, and they can't understand often why their children fail at music and why there is such a high failure rate. So the misunderstanding around the learning of music instrument is based around the fact that parents seem to believe that their child should love it. They should have this passion and love for learning music. And this couldn't be further from the truth. The passion and love comes over time. It comes through actually learning to play the instrument. It comes through the discipline of learning the instrument. And once you have the skill, then the love grows. Now, you can have a love for music because music is passive. It's not an active thing. You don't have to actively push yourself to listen to music. It's like watching movies, watching TV. You know, I can be passionate about watching movies, but it doesn't make me a movie maker. If you want to be a musician, then you want to be a movie maker, you've got to learn the craft and you've got to study, and the study is a discipline. And this is where the confusion and misconception of many parents comes in, because they honestly believe that their child should be passionate about wanting to learn music, and if they're not, therefore they don't do it. Not realizing that they need to actually instill the discipline of learning the instrument so they get to the point where they can then take their passion for music, because most people have a passion for music. Most people have favorite songs and favorite bands, and you ask the average person, would you like to be able to play music? They say yes, but the discipline is where they fall short. That's where they actually never get that happening. And so if a parent works with their child, gives them the gift of the skill of being able to play music, they then have that choice. Wow, I can actually play. I'm 10 years old. I started when I was 3 or 4, and now I'm 10 and I can play this instrument. So this is the confusion. If you can get this message across to parents, you will lose very few students. And this was the turning point for myself. So guitar is a discipline. Parents firstly must understand that asking their child if they want to practice guitar is like asking them if they want to clean their room or do their homework or eat the vegetables or turn the TV off. They don't want to do these things because they involve something that they don't really enjoy. And practice being a discipline is not something that they particularly enjoy. Now, the answer will almost always be no from a child to any of these things. As I said, when a parent wants their child to clean their room, there are some positive strategies that you can use. You know, an example that I use is that I turn it into a game with my daughter. I will, you know, sometimes ask her, okay, I'm going to see how quickly you can clean your room. I'm starting to count now. 1, 2, 3. So I watch her run around the room and sort of put things in boxes and quickly put things away. And it's an exciting time. But the problem is that I can't do that every day. It's not going to work every single time. There'll just be times where she's not interested in playing the game. She's over the game. She'll want me to come up with something different, which means being creative and coming up with new ideas. And as parents, it's a lot of work for a parent to continually be coming up with new creative ideas for their children to get them to do things. It's a good thing to do sometimes, but it's a big job to ask them to do it every day. Or should I say several times a day. So there is the need for what we call timeout. Timeout is effective because it sets clear boundaries for behavior. It tells children what's acceptable and what's not. Timeout will tell the child if they're not playing by the rules of your house and how things operate where you are in your environment, then they need to go to their room until they're ready to play by the rules. Now, obviously, you need to make those rules fair, and you need to have the child's interests in mind. They can't just be self-serving, but that's for another podcast. So there is, I often say that there is no need for physical punishment. You don't need to hit or smack a child or whatever you want to call it, because timeout absolutely works. You should never resort to hitting a child. Just use timeout. Children should only be given timeout after they've clearly understood the expectations. So don't give a child timeout just because, of something that you're upset about, something that makes no sense, or if they don't understand why they're getting timeout. And that's a common problem. So make sure the timeout is very clear. You're getting timeout because you're not following what I asked you to do. I asked you to do this. You haven't done it. Therefore, off to your room. And that way, children are very clear about what they need to do. So when they return, they will learn. They may not learn it the first time or the second time, but they gradually get to know, okay, this behavior, this negative behavior results in me getting sent to my room for timeout. Therefore, I will change my behavior. So it should. The other thing here is that I'd like to do is give you an example of where you don't want to use timeout. So, for example, if the child knocked over your drink by mistake, they're at the dinner table and they reached over and they accidentally knocked over your drink, and you're a little bit on edge, they've already been mucking around, they haven't been restless, you've been telling them to sit down and they knocked over your drink, it's not a time to send them for timeout. What happened was an accident. If what they're doing and not sitting down and you've told them repeatedly to sit down, then you got to be careful that the drink spilling over is not the point of where you give them time out. What you need to do is do it at the time when you've asked them several times to sit down and they don't do it, then send them to the room. So they know that it's not about the drink knocking over, it's about the fact that they're not sitting still and they're not sitting down and doing, eating their dinner as you ask them. So I hope that makes sense. You've got to make that clear distinction because they will connect whatever it is. So they'll think that the previous behavior of not sitting down is okay, but the drink knocking over is what they is where they went wrong. And then they feel, well, I didn't mean to knock over that drink. I don't understand. And so they get this sense of that it was unfair. So let's understand what timeout is. Timeout is for when a child is emotional and not considering their actions. So in other words, they're being irrational. Sending them to their room will teach them to step back from situations, calm down, and come back to the situation with a rational head. As adults, we know that having the wisdom to step back from situations is an important skill. It stops us from overreacting and making bad decisions in the heat of the moment, or saying things that we regret. And we've all been there. We all know that we've said the wrong thing or pressed the send key on an email, which we shouldn't have, those kind of things. And the timeout really teaches a child to do that. So as adults, we actually think more about our decisions. Now, my advice for parents is simply this. Don't ask your child if they like guitar. It's not up for debate any more than eating healthy food, going to bed on time, or learning to read, doing your homework, etc. Either you are committed to your child learning guitar or you are not. So what I try and get across to parents is that you need to be committed and you need to work with me as the teacher You're the parent, and together we're going to make this happen. And your child won't always like it. It won't always be fun. You'll get resistance, but together we'll make it work. We've just got to work through those times together when the child is not on board, which will be quite often, especially in the beginning. So learning any discipline is really not about the discipline itself per se. In other words, it's learning guitar. The greatest reward is not the ability to play guitar, but instead is the understanding of what it takes to learn and master a skill, in turn giving one a sense of control over their destiny. So, you know, I believe that every child should learn at least one discipline that they don't enjoy, just so they understand how to work through the process. And, you know, life is not always going to be about everything we enjoy. There are certain things that we need to learn. You know, you might go to university, you've got to do a particular subject that you don't want to do, but it's part of what has to be done in order for you to get through. You might have to do an apprenticeship for a job to get through a certain stage to get to the job that you really want. So there are all these things in life that we need to do and discipline ourselves to work through, even though we don't like it. So it's not about doing everything that you love doing. It's about learning to look at something you don't want to do, have the discipline to work through it in order to get. So to go through, to get to C, you got to go through B, so to speak. So here's the other thing that's really important that I say to parents is that your child won't hate you. The fear of one's child hating them for forcing them to learn guitar or piano or any other instrument is a myth. We force our children to do things all the time. The strategy is simple. Try the positive approaches first. So try and get your child to do it using the positive strategies that we use, that we recommend in the parenting guide. If they fail, then you need to resort to timeout. Send them to their room, no TV, no internet, no games, etc., until they do their practice. So no rewards. You don't get all the good stuff without actually putting in some work and following, you know, the rules. So do you want your child watching guitar or TV? Sorry, or do you want them to be able to play guitar? Which is going to serve them better in 5 years from now? The ability to play a musical instrument or the ability to change the channels on the TV? These are the kind of things that you know parents need to think about and think, well, I would rather my child have a skill, even if it's just they go through it and they decide at the end they don't want to do it. That's okay. That's their choice. But as young children, we want to give them these skills so they then have that choice to decide whether or not they go on with it. And I can tell you pretty well that I haven't met anyone who regretted learning guitar, even if their parents forced them and they had a horrible childhood with their parents, you know, beating them every day to learn the instrument. They still seem to be happy about the fact that they can play. And that's another myth that sort of surrounds is that our poor relationship with say, our parents or with a parent, a child and a parent is not about the musical instrument. It's just about a bad relationship. They didn't get along. They didn't communicate. Whatever was going wrong, it wasn't the instrument that was the problem. So let's talk about abuse versus discipline. Don't confuse abuse with discipline. Adults who say they hate their parents or were traumatized because they were forced to do this or do that are generally the result of parents who were cruel or abusive, either physically or mentally. So it's not actually related to what they're doing. And they may associate learning an instrument or something around that happened at the time, but it was the way that it was done, not what was actually being learnt or done. So an example is where parents, and we hear this a lot, where parents punish a child for not passing an exam. You fail the exam, therefore you get punished. An exam is a result. The child might have tried their very, very best, yet still failed to pass. They just may not have had the help that they needed. They may not have understood what was required and had no support from the right people, so therefore they failed. But it wasn't because they didn't try. To punish them is simply unfair and makes no sense at all. If a child refuses to study, punishment like no TV is fair and reasonable because you're giving them a choice. The child knows that they can choose between doing it or not doing it. So they choose the punishment if they don't do the study. So they may not like the choice, but at least they know they have one. They're not left feeling helpless. So results-related punishment teaches children to become helpless and feel helpless. And then they see the world as a cruel and unfair place where they are, essentially powerless. Whereas giving the child, you know, using giving a choice, you either study or don't study. What we're trying to do is say to children, if you try, that's all I'm asking. All I ever ask is that you give it your best. I'm not asking you to succeed or fail. I don't care. All I care about is that you give it your best. All right. So parents need to get this message. The bottom line is we need parents to understand that children will not just happily practice guitar each day. It just doesn't work that way. It's a discipline, and if you don't convey this message to parents early, you will lose most of your young students. You need to be upfront and honest, explaining to parents the positive strategies they can use, but also the fact that time out will almost certainly be required. So expect some tears. If parents aren't comfortable with this, you have to at least put it out there so they say to you, when they say to you, I'm sorry, but she is not enjoying the guitar, so I don't want to force them, so we will be stopping lessons from this week. You can respond by saying, I understand. You may recall me mentioning that guitar is a discipline and children generally won't want to practice. Can you tell me what happens when you sit down to practice at home? So at this point, you can start to find out what's going on. Use this to explain what needs to be done in terms of using timeout and point out that this is the beginning for children, and you know, at this stage they will resist and it's hard for them and they don't want to always do it, so it really requires sticking with it to work through it, that it's not always going to be like this, that really the child will eventually get into the routine of it. It may, depending on how young the child is, it may take a couple of years. If they're older, it'll probably be less, you know, it might take 6 months. It really depends on the age of the child. Younger children are still young, they're still, you know, resistant, they still are going through learning how to control their behavior. So that's why a young child is more likely to have timeout compared to an older child. An older child has a more developed what they call prefrontal cortex, so is able to reason better and is able to look at a situation and go, okay, if I don't practice, therefore I go to my room, I think I'm going to practice. So all these kind of things. So let's now look at an example. I'm going to pull up an example from a teacher recently and what they said, and I'll go through the kind of explanation that I gave them and how to deal with it. So in this case, I received an email from a teacher in regards to a student dropping out due to practice. And the teacher's email went like this. The parent of one of my first students has sent me an MSS letting me know they won't be coming back to lessons. Hi there. This is from the parent. Hi there. We will not be coming back to guitar lessons. I'm sorry, but my child has lost interest and he hasn't practiced for ages. We will try again when he's a bit older. You are a great teacher and I wish you success in your business. Now, the boy is 7 and only did 3 weeks of the introduction. First 2 weeks were fine, then postponed the third because of some scouts thing. So we did it a week later, and then the mum didn't realize I didn't stop during school holidays, even though I told her and sent her the policies on the intro, and basically she didn't come anymore, and I got her message. I sort of saw it coming because he wasn't filling in the logbook, and I couldn't see the parent being committed even after a good chat at the beginning around expectations and practicing and going through the parent guide and giving them a copy. I really feel that they are not committed at all and are blaming their kid for not practicing and losing interest. All right, so this is, even though it's hard to see, really what's going on here is the parent doesn't really feel that they should be disciplining the child. They've said up here, hi there, we're not coming back, listen, I'm sorry, he has lost interest. In other words, he doesn't want to practice. And that's normal. That's what you should expect. And this particular parent doesn't get that. They don't realize that the child is not just going to do the practice. They have to actually discipline them into doing it. They have to motivate or discipline. You've got two choices. And if the motivation's not working, you need to move to the discipline. So here's what I said, my response. Yes, I agree from the message the parents are making the assumption that their child should be automatically motivated to want to learn. In many ways, this is the biggest challenge we face as guitar teachers. But the good news is It's also what will ultimately lead to your success and make you a standout teacher. I just want to point out at this point that if you are able to explain to students, the parents of students, this distinction between a passion and a love for music and the discipline for learning the instrument and the expectation of children and the fact that they're going to want to quit or not want to practice, this will make all the difference to your teaching. This is where you will become a standout teacher. You will become a person who explains the truth, and then parents understand, okay, and that's why you're going to have successful students. The very definition of a successful teacher is one who has many successful students. And if you have students, whether or not they drop out or what happens, but if you have students, it doesn't matter how great your teaching is and how well you present, if your students aren't practicing and they're not staying, they're dropping out after 3 weeks, you're not going to be you're not going to build a reputation. You know, people aren't going to be talking about you. But if you're someone who is able to give people a very different twist on things, and you can talk about teaching in terms of or learning guitar in terms of a discipline, then people are going to realize, wow, this is actually refreshing. Some people won't like it, but generally it's going to be refreshing because you're giving people the honest truth. Don't expect your child to be enjoying and passionate. And that's where parents often get disillusioned, is that when they're trying to work with their children and the children are resisting and not enjoying it, they just think, my child doesn't like music, therefore I have a child who's non-musical or just doesn't have what, you know, that thing that they're supposed to have to make them want to learn music. So they write you off at that point, or they write off the whole idea of learning music, or they might delay it and say, I'll come back when he's a bit older, she's a bit older, whatever. Okay, so so the problem is that most guitar teachers actually never solve this problem, so end up losing most of their students. The fact that you are aware that parents are the key means that you're halfway to solving this problem. It will take practice to get the message across to parents, but below I have included some tips to take it the rest of the way. So this is, I'm back to reading my response. Okay, so here's my first tip. Normalizing behavior around practice will often prevent parents from using the excuse of, my child doesn't seem interested in practicing, so we're going to stop lessons. In other words, make it clear that children do not like practice, that it's normal to not want to practice. They don't like it any more than doing homework or eating their vegetables or cleaning their room, as we spoke about. Practice requires focused effort, and this takes self-discipline or parental discipline. So I often use the example of how children left to make their own choices will be eating junk food, playing video games, and rarely taking a shower. In other words, expect resistance, but here is what to do. Okay, so involve the parents in the lessons, explaining their role and even getting them to instruct their child in front of you as they will when they're at home. So you're going to show them how to do it at home. This means that you're coaching the parent while also witnessing the dynamic between the parent and the child. And this is, I come back to this, how I learned so much about parenting was by watching this dynamic between parent and child. When I get the parent involved and ask them to take charge and to work with their child on this kind of level, I could see clearly how they spoke to their child, how this child responded, and I learned so much. It was, like I said, a 25-year experiment watching this over thousands of hours of watching these parents and children interacting. So some parents will try and stay out of it, but this is the first sign of trouble. You want to make sure they are fully involved and know what to do at home. This also makes the parent accountable. You put them in charge. It's no longer a, if your child likes it scenario, it's a you committed to it. This is you. This is your job. Your job is to, I'm giving you the challenge as a parent to go home and work with your child and get them to learn this stuff by next week. I'm going to give you all the tools you need. I'm going to give you all the advice you need, but the challenges and the responsibility is on you. In other words, I don't say this outrightly, but, you know, don't come back to me next week and say my child didn't want to practice. That's not the answer. What you should be saying is that I didn't know how to get my child to practice. My child resisted and I wasn't sure what to do. So they should always be asking that question. They should always feel, and that's what you want to get them to, but you've got to be obviously tactful about the way you do it. And I usually do that by saying to parents, if you have any problem, you know, talk to me. You could ring me. Here's my number. If he or she's not practicing or you're having trouble getting them to do the practice at home, give me a ring and we'll work through it. Because if you spend this time early on, then you're not going to lose the student, and then they're going to get into the routine. The parent will understand what to do. They'll work with their child. The child gets better. You look good. Everybody wins. So next, let them know that they can contact you anytime. Sorry, I'm reading from the letter again. So let them know they can contact you anytime. If things aren't going well at home, even get them to video a practice session so you can see what's happening and I'll offer advice. Lastly, some parents have the view that their child is not inspired to want to practice, and so they're not going to force them, which we really spoke about. This can be a tough debate sometimes with some parents because they just don't get it. They just don't believe what you're telling them. They don't believe in forcing their child to learn guitar. They just see it as force and they don't want to do it. They see it as something that's fun and not something that should require any kind of discipline. They see guitar more like a game to be enjoyed rather than a skill to be learned. In this case, you can only do your best. So that's it. I'm just going to wrap up now. I hope that sort of makes sense to you. And really, this should make a huge difference to your teaching. If you can apply what I'm talking about here and remember that your job is to explain to parents that guitar is a discipline and then how to do that and how to carry that out, that it's not something that children are going to be jumping over the moon about. Practice is just something that they won't want to do most of the time. Thanks for tuning in. And again, if you want to know more about G4 Guitar, go to the G4 Guitar Method website, which is the letter G, the numeral 4, the word guitar method, g4guitarmethod.com, and just click on the teach icon there for more information. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.